This is it. We're doing it. It's time. Welcome, everybody. It's the Late Night Playset. My name is Jay Ryan. It's the Cars and Comedy Show, and the lady to my right is Nicole Ryan. We have got nothing planned for you this evening. Absolutely nothing. I would say we've got a good one planned. These ones where we do nothing usually end up being pretty good. Not because of us, just what you bring to the table and some sort of something with the energy of not knowing what the shit you're going to say next. It's a weird vibe. So we're live. We're live here in the playset. It's the Cars and Comedy Show. Please like, subscribe, and comment below. We have got our friend Shazam Mike up in Canada. He is monitoring the comments, and he's waving at you right now. You look very hip, casual, like you're going out on the town tonight. Is that what's happening?
I'm not going out on the town tonight, but now that you mention it, that sounds pretty damn good.
Well, don't let me, forgive me, I just, you look trendy. Is trendy is that right?
I'll take it. I'm wearing a Big Lebowski shirt.
Oh, nice. Okay. I couldn't tell, and it almost looked like house wardrobe. You remember the house? It looked like something, whatever. It looks great. And we support because the dude abides.
The dude abides. Yeah. And also, you know, shut the fuck up, Donnie. Right?
Phone's ringing, dude. Phone's ringing, dude. And then I don't know if you know this or not, but your next trip to LA, we should go to, like, you know, the dude's apartment complex is easily accessible in Venice, and the bowling alley has been torn down, but there's a lot of Big Lebowski stuff to see if you're actually a big fan. And now that we talk about it, I can't believe it hasn't come up before, because you are a big fan of most things, and that's one of those movies that the fans, it's a cult following.
Very, very much so. And a religion as well. I've got a book somewhere about Dudism, and there's a lot of people that take that movie pretty darn seriously.
Yeah, I think so.
My favorite part is the In-N-Out Burger stuff, of course.
Oh, because you love In-N-Out Burger.
Well, you know, it's just a natural combination. I love the Big Lebowski, and the Big Lebowski and all of his cohorts love In-N-Out Burger as well. So, yeah, it's just
I think we need to watch it again, because I don't remember the In-N-Out Burger part. I remember, you know, the car getting stolen and all the other stuff. Anyway, so apparently we're going to be talking about the Big Lebowski tonight, as well as this rest of the stuff. That's right, this rest of the stuff. You heard me. Sully Sound is here. Fiat 500 Turbo is here. Jacques Wendell is here. Any relation to Bill Wendell? That would be cool. Specialized Blasting has joined. Yeah, it's going to be a good night. I have a good feeling about it. Will, take it away. Start this thing.
Oh, and then what is that? Is that a spider coming down at the same time? Do you see that? Or is that a gob of bubble stuff hanging from the ceiling? Or did we just soak a spider with bubble stuff? This is the weirdest thing. I know nobody else can see. How high are they tonight? What do they see? All right. Can anybody see this? Do you know what I'm talking about? Is there any way to... I don't know. It looks like a piece of saliva hanging from the ceiling.
I see it. I don't know.
I know you do. We've established that we see it. I want them to know that we are not crazy. Or maybe we are. It's Thursday, everybody. Thursday, June 30th, 2022. It's the Nothing Show. That's right.
Right.
It's the Nothing Show. Right over here, you got Nicole. And, well, she's not nothing. So that's something. That's something. I'm going to get you a pen because I forgot it in the other room. I'm going to go get that. And let me think about where it is first. I'll get situated in the meantime. I told you, Thursday, June 30th. It's the end of June, the end of the sixth month, which means we are halfway through the goddamn year.
That's crazy.
I feel like it just hit 2020. Am I the only one? We just hit 2020.
I'm with you.
And then 2 years got erased, and then maybe it's more than 2 years now. Ugh. All right. Well, my parents always said it. They said, the older you get, the faster time goes, and blah, blah, blah. God damn, they were right. So we're going around the horn. We're going to find out what's going on with the DeLorean podcast with Kat DeLorean. We're going to find out what's going on with the Letterman podcast with producer Canada Mike up there. And we're going to check in with the new life of old Nicole over here. And I don't really have any updates. I talk too much as it is. So we're going to be talking to everybody else. If Rusty Shackelford wants to join, he can too. Find out what's going on with the Wake the Kids, Film the Neighbors, because I said it right podcast. I watched one of producer Mike's podcasts the other day where he also said "Wake the Kids." I snuck into your subliminal there. Which episode was that I was watching? Do you remember?
I feel like that might have been Irene Hoffman's episode.
You're right. That's what it was. Yeah. So I was watching the Irene Hoffman episode, and it was funny. He was referring to those guys, and he screwed it up the same way I do. And then, of course, he's like, "Ah, God damn it, Jay!" Because I got in his head. All right, let me go get the thing. It's Tradecraft Thursday.
Just cause.
And great. We have one of these open in the other room, and I'll just go get it. It's gelato, and the mood in a few moments will be good vibes.
Cool.
In the meantime, you guys have a nice old chat, and I'll just do this. There we go.
Micah, hey. Watch your Irene episode. It's good.
You watched it?
I've got like 5 minutes left.
Oh my gosh, that's I appreciate the fact that that episode is getting some love from people because having folks who are enthusiasts on there is a really big part of what we want to do, and people's reactions seem to be pretty cool about it, and there's no bigger enthusiast than Irene, so what
she
a sweet lady, right?
Owns that title. It's great.
Yeah, she's just so enthusiastic about it and grateful. And she's also like almost like feels a little naughty for how many times she's actually seen the show. Like she's really, really bashful about that.
That came through a little bit. And I thought that was kind of what was sort of endearing about it was she was so grateful to all of her little fairy godmothers and fairy godfathers, meaning the men and women of the Late Show staff and Page program that always took care of her as far as finding a good seat in the audience and stuff like that. I thought it was adorable and so endearing. I mean, I got why Rupert fell for her. Like, I get it. She's very sweet.
I get that, too. And just FYI, I know the fan base is important, but, like, outside of that, like, I'd never seen her. So there's a whole world of her to expose her stories to.
Very much so. And she has so many. She's in Greece right now, and we're going to do an episode of the Postmortem with her. Where she was in the audience for the Julia Louis Dreyfus, or not the Julia Louis Dreyfus, the Tina Fey, My Next Guest episode, which was like 48 minutes on the Netflix, but she was, she said it was a full 90 minute show. She remembers a whole bunch of the stuff that got cut. We're going to have a great talk about that while the bay is in the background while she's over in her little hideaway in Greece. That's going to be a lot of fun.
This is pretty cool. So you're going to do postmortems for all of the My Next Guests, not just this new season. You're going to hit them all, which makes sense, I guess.
Yeah, like tomorrow I shoot one with Rob Cates, who runs a really big Letterman Facebook group, as well as like a Rat Pack fan group, which has like 60,000 members in it. Good guy. He's been on the show already.
Tomorrow, I didn't know of either of those groups, but he's got the Carson and the Late Night fans, and he's got a handful of other, like Johnny Carson and maybe fans of Late Night that I do follow. So he's got a bunch of pages he runs then.
He does. And it's funny, when he was on the episode, on our episode already, we talked about how so many guys who work in television love Dave and company, and Rob works in television, and he's a guy that just he and I are going to go and do a postmortem episode about the time when Jerry Seinfeld came and interviewed Dave. It was the Netflix bonus edition of My Next Guest. We're going to do a postmortem of that tomorrow. So next week we'll have two episodes come out. It'll be good.
Wow. He seems to be a very nice guy. I'm glad that you guys are friendly. I've only recently just, you know, started corresponding with him, but he seems very, very cool. And like I say, I've been following his pages for ages.
Yeah. And he loves what you guys are doing, or what we're doing on Cars and Comedy as well. He very, very much an admirer of all the things that we're doing. And it's great to link arms with all these people. Yeah.
That's really good to know. Thanks for saying that. We don't,
absolutely.
We're in a bubble over here. We're in this little studio that we don't know. We put stuff out, but, you know, you never really know. And then anytime you get some, you know, Walter Kim said something similar the other day, and I hate to drop his name like that. Whoops, it is. But he said something the other day, too, because I was talking about their shows, and I was like, you know, if you ever need anything, like ever any interviews out here, whatever, I'd be happy. I'll match you or whatever. And he was like, match our stuff. He goes, if anything, we should be working our way up to, like, what you're doing. And the whole, it was very funny how he phrased it. And I don't think he meant it. I think their stuff is intentionally how it is. But it still felt good to hear. Still nice for the same reasons. I guess it's sort of like good. What you do. You put so much goddamn effort into this shit that when anytime somebody says something, oh, you know, that was really good, it's like, oh, thank you.
Absolutely.
You must feel that way, right?
Very, very much so. But I'm humbled by the whole thing, you know, still. But when you throw so much excitement into something, and even one person notices a little detail, it's worth it. It's worth it just for that one person to notice that thing. And we're trying to do a lot of little details in service of keeping this legacy going and evolving it.
For me, it's all about the details. I get, you know, it's funny because in conversation, in life, and I tell everybody, zoom out, the details don't matter. But when it comes to like a project or whatever, you mentioned Dave being, people who are in television and work in television being attracted to the Dave program. Not just Dave, but the whole program. I have my own theories about that because I was the same way. I think because Dave highlighted all the technical aspects of television. He pulled the curtain back and showed you how television was made, even till the end when everybody already knew how television was made. It was still like Dave's show was inside out. Even The Late Show. More at Late Night, but even The Late Show a little bit. That's totally what we're trying to do here with the whole it's a show, not a show.
Yep.
And the idea that, like, you know, at the time when The Late Night Show started, you know, they had the parameters put on them where they couldn't be like other talk shows, specifically The Johnny Show. And, you know, when we started this podcast, we sort of broke every rule on the podcast thing, too, whether it's been to our benefit or detriment. I don't fucking know. But you know what I mean? Like, we sort of broke all the rules to kind of do something the same but different. And for some reason, that's very attractive to, like, you know, technical-minded people. And radio and TV people seem to be that way. Sorry.
Well, there's a couple points. No. There's a couple points that come off of that initially. Number one, I think that it's subliminal with Dave as well. I think you're right. It's intentional, but then there's a subliminal part because he didn't just start in a TV studio. He started in radio. He saw the evolution of things. Then he went and saw it from he's a booth announcer. He was a weatherman. Like he saw so many different professional parts of that job. And it just, I don't think he could help highlighting these people when he got Late Night. It was so, because he's done it all.
Yeah, that's it. That's where it comes down to. You mentioned everything except for he came out through local television, which means not only are you the weatherman or the booth announcer, it also means you set up the cameras, you paint the green screen wall. It's a little team effort, like a little theater program when you're working in local television, no matter what kind it is, news or entertainment. So he did, exactly like you're saying, he was a cameraman. He was an audio guy. He did all the different jobs because we all had to learn that way. And because of that, I think you're right. He's one of the guys sitting at the desk who knows what Bailey's doing and what Ed's doing and what Sal's doing and all the different things. And because of that, I think you're right that you can't – if you know, you can't not talk about it. Like it would be weird to not. It would be weird to talk about my friend Magnus Walker and not bring up his Porsche collection, right?
Exactly. That's exactly right. And that's what separates him from every other late night person, except for some of the guys who did come from radio, things like that. And the other thing that you brought up that I will always say to my dying day when it comes to cars and comedy, what you're doing here, you guys are pretending to be a podcast, but clearly not a podcast. And that's why you're a show, TV on the internet, different than any other podcast ever. Unique in that regard because of the exact same thing that we're talking about with Dave. You're just taking it, your take on it, instead of out of a television studio, it's an internet studio in that regard.
Instead of six other guys, I'm telling you what they do. They're all me. So I had to do this with the lights and this with the sound.
Which is exactly what Dave had to do when he was in the Ma and Pa TV studio that you were just talking about.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Just so you're aware as well, Producer Mike, Kat is in the waiting room as well, just so you're aware.
I love it.
I don't know if you knew that or not.
I love it. I didn't. Thank you. I told her 5:15 and she's right on time. Well, then let's put a pin in this. We're going to talk more about the Letterman podcast in a little bit, and we'll just bring our friend Kat in here. Let's see. Can you hear me? Is all well in your world? Catherine DeLorean, can you hear me? There may be a delay. She looks great. Can you see yourself? Do I have her muted? Let's see. Nope, not muted. But I don't know. We are here live, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're here live. Oh, she's motioning now.
Oh, okay. So we see you, but we can't hear you. Can you hear us? This happened once before. Let me mute her and unmute her. Anything? What if I leave the room and come back in? I like you got your poster there, your Back to the Future 2 poster, and your Defender shirt. I used to love that game. You look fabulous.
This makes me want to get my Back to the Future cards.
Oh, gosh, I forgot. Oh, yeah, there you are.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
My microphone is wrong.
Oh, I hear. Yeah, because now it's your room. It's not your microphone, right?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Yay! my microphone was wrong.
Well, maybe we're wrong. How are you? You look great. What's happening?
I still got to get all this set up correctly. I'm working on it. I got a ring light for you.
You have been very busy. tell people what's going on with you.
Everything. What isn't happening? All kinds of things are happening. Yes, I have been meeting all of these wonderful people. Sorry, I'm listening to you on Instagram because I still can't get the sound to work on Switcher Studios. So the delay, I'm going to work with it. Okay.
Oh, so you've got. Oh, well, this is going to be horrible. She's got us.
Jay,
on
what
Instagram.
If you brought her on the Instagram?
I hear myself talking, so that's weird. So what's been going on? I have been setting up the DeLorean Legacy Project.
See, now she's hearing me talking now. I'm going to be quiet from here on out.
I can hear you. Good, it's good. Trust me. So I'm going to go back to, I've been working on the DeLorean Legacy Project, and I've been talking to all these wonderful people. And tonight, I actually got to hear a really cool story from somebody who contacted me through the website. And I was like, I don't know what we're going to talk about because you kind of got to me last minute and I'm like, all these things are going on. And I said, hey, this was a really cool story. So growing up in California, we went to Malibu Grand Prix and played video games and rode go-karts and stuff. Turns out my dad and his brother, Jack, there's a long, really cool story about Bricklin and these extra cars and turning them into go-karts. But my dad's brother worked at Bricklin. And hold on, I'm going to turn down the sound because I can hear myself. Okay. My uncle was working at Bricklin and they had all these cars that they had to do something with. So they turned them into these go-karts. And then they opened up these Grand Prix of America tracks in a franchise. And there was three franchises. And one of them was owned by this gentleman's father. And he contacted me through the website. And he told me this really cool story I had no idea about how my dad's brother, Jack, and my father repurposed all of these ridiculous cars that nobody could do anything with and turned them into what we now know as those Malibu Grand Prix cars or Grand Prix cars. And I had no idea. I had no idea about it. I'm reading your lips, actually.
I just can't believe it.
And it was just such a really neat, and he's also kind of looking for his dad and he's restoring these cars and, like, you know, going through this whole story of his dad having owned this track and everything. So it was this really fantastic opportunity to get to know. There's all these nuggets hidden everywhere of all these really cool things that my dad did. And I've read bits and pieces. Jason said, I know I heard the story. And he went digging through all the material and he came up with it. He's like, look, here it is. Here's all this stuff. I knew I heard this story before. Wow. But when you have somebody come to you, bring it to your attention and you get to see the context around it that you don't have in all the articles, it's kind of amazing. So this whole project has turned into something completely different than what I anticipated and way better than anything ever.
You're just going with the flow, right? You're going where it takes you.
Ah, I read your lips and I didn't hear it. Okay, hold on. I'm going to figure this out. Yes, I'm going with the flow. I'm going where it takes me. I tried, man. I really did. I spent so much time. Last time my computer worked, so I didn't think I had to figure out all the sound and everything. So I'm like, I'm trying to finish this phone call with the guy I'm just telling you about, and I'm trying to eat my dinner, and then I'm trying to get everything ready. I didn't even get to clean up behind me. It's still a mess from all the stuff we were doing, but I'm like, forget it. Who cares? It's Jay's show. We're going to have fun, so it's okay. But that's the sound thing. I don't know how to fix it.
Well, I think it's all great. Your shirt keeps coming to my attention because I loved that video game when I was a kid. I played that video game like crazy on my Commodore 64.
I just left you with dead air because I was listening to myself and then trying to read your lips. Oh.
There's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way. Switcher Studio works
it's
fine
malware
in Canada.
Defender. So. I got this at Black Hat. So for everybody who doesn't know, I'm a security professional. There is a better way. Hold on, I'll figure it out, my friend. No, I'll get it. I got it for you.
You got two sets of headphones again. She's got her earbuds.
We're gonna totally do this. We're gonna figure it out. It's gonna happen. We're gonna make this work, okay?
Yeah. You're the IT person. I know you can do it if anybody can. I don't understand ones and zeros. You got it.
Yeah, well, that was easy. No, it was ridiculous. Shut up, okay? Do you know how much I went through trying to get here on time? It was like an ordeal, dude. Okay, sorry.
No one's complaining on our side. We're happy you're here, but I'm very happy we're now in the same time zone.
That was ridiculous, but I tried. Okay, so.
All right, so I love your shirt. And you had a great conversation with the guy and the Bricklin freaking go-kart thing is ridiculous. I can't wait to investigate that further because that's going to be a freaking documentary in its own right. and now the DeLorean Legacy. So this thing is becoming bigger than you anticipated because you weren't sure what you wanted it to be. You said you were going to sort of let the people define what it was going to be. Is that still what's going on?
Yeah, very much. And it's turning into some really cool stuff. So we have the expansion of the digital museum where we're going to be putting all of the stuff that we're coming across and finding and having these stories. And then we have all these wonderful ideas. Some of the fans, they make music. And they said, why don't we make a soundtrack for the Legacy Project? I said, sure, let's figure this out. People are offering all kinds of studio space. And I, okay, let's figure it. Make good music, but let's do this.
Wow.
And a digital scavenger hunt where we're going to, it's a physical one, but we're going to try and map out things, places where there's DeLorean lore or things my father did, you know, like his high school has his drawings, things like that. Just really neat.
His high school has his drawings? Is that what you said?
Yeah, that his high school has some of the things that he did while he was there, and as well as his college, I believe.
But you mean his early like drawings and sketches, like probably of cars and stuff?
I think when he was there, he studied electrical engineering, but something is there.
No, I forgot about the engineering. You're right. But still, sketches by your dad would be pretty cool for everyone to see. We've never seen that stuff.
And I've got behind me all of this mess that's here is all the stuff that I've been going through. Right there is a giant, like I have a huge folder that his old publicist sent me with all of these newspaper articles and all of his appointments for his book tour.
Oh, wow.
Just random, really cool stuff.
Oh, that's so wild. Well, the dates, is that 70s or 80s?
It would be 80s because the book came out in the 80s. It would be that book, whichever way it is. I don't know. It's behind me.
You're probably blocking it. It's awesome. I love that you have all the stuff on display. What's the deal with the poster there? Why do you have a Back to the Future poster?
So this is an actual movie poster that was given to me by my father's friend, Judy Baker, who came back into my life during this project, which is really cool. And her son worked at a theater or something. And so he grabbed the poster and I had my dad sign it.
It's
an original Back to the Future 2 poster that's autographed by my dad. And it's come with me everywhere. It's got broken glass right now. I have to replace it to protect it, but it's supposed to go on the wall behind me so that when I talk to everybody, you get to see cool stuff instead of my silly lamps and things.
That's interesting. You know what? If you put yours up, I'll put mine up. I still have one rolled up from Bob Gale that, you know, after we had the A car restored, he sent me a very nice letter saying we couldn't do it without you and really very nice stuff. But he had sent me a signed poster by him and Spielberg and Zemeckis, like all the main guys, Christopher Lloyd and stuff. And you know, like you, it's just been in the closet for a few years, you know, because whatever. But now, if you're going to put it up, maybe I will. Sean gave me the Mr. Fusion on the air the other day, my old Mr. Fusion from the actual A-car. So I don't know, maybe I'll start embracing it again too.
I was there, I was watching Sean.
Good.
I was sending love, it was good to see him because... my favorite picture ever is from at his house where I took
in the yard
picture. And then the one with my shirt over my face, but the one where I took a picture of you with the camera.
Yeah. I took the picture of you with the shirt over your face. It was a twofer.
It was a twofer. So, it was nice to see him and that was fun. We didn't talk about my shirt.
It was a different time zone. I loved that game as a kid.
I got this at Black Hat and it's Malware Defender because I'm that cool. So if anybody has any security questions, I am a white hat hacker and I'm your friend. So you know. Don't ask me to fix your computer though. No, I'll break it, but I won't fix it.
But when it comes to ones and zeros and protocol and you're the girl,
yeah,
you're Mrs. Robot.
Exactly. I am
Ms.
so
Robot.
Much. I am so much closer to Elliot than people will ever understand that, yes, it's actually my favorite show probably ever.
I loved that show.
Yeah. Yep.
I love that show because it's so hard to surprise me these days. Usually you can, I know what's coming. I know it. That show surprised me a lot. Really good writing.
They addressed the mental condition that he has really, really well too.
Mm.
So that was something that I really appreciated. That's a very complex thing to address and they addressed it very well.
I guess that's part of what I'm talking about. Like the way they illustrated some of his mental struggles was awesome. Because you can tell people you have those problems, but they don't know what it means. And then you could say, well, have you ever seen Mr. Robot? And like, you know, that... It's nice. It's like you with MS, you know, like, do you know Muhammad Ali or
yeah, my Richard Pryor? Of what people need to know is really long, but I'm narrowing it down.
I forget how many of, because this is like, this is our life. I think of you as like my relative, so I forget that, like, you know all of my people. You know, you were asking, like, yeah. David Ormisher, you were asking about David, and you know, you know him, and Sean, you know him. Like, David and I drove to her house in Texas. I mean, like, we really know her, you know?
You know David?
She's been to Sean's house.
Oh, yes.
Where we were building the time machine and stuff, and the Ecto and stuff. So I forget how entrenched we are still. I still think of you as like, I'm calling my sister. She doesn't know what I'm up to. You know what I mean? But she totally does. So cool. So cool.
I keep so up grateful. With you. And actually, David, I believe, is why I still have an Adobe Creative Cloud subscription. Because he
hilarious.
Got me to get that instead of Photoshop, and I never went back.
Oh, my gosh. He was a good one with the ones and zeros, too. He's doing something like you used to do. He's in that world of IT and everything now. I don't know if you know.
It's just that world of IT. You know, it's a big world. There's a lot of things.
Well, I guess he used to manage nightclubs. It's a little different. You know what I mean? Now he's back in the IT world working computers and stuff. So what do we have to look forward to for the Legacy podcast? The DeLorean Legacy project and podcast, because you've been working on that as well.
Yes. So the project right now is, well, it's the website, but we actually are putting together there's some side efforts that have started involving the charity work. So we're starting the foundation, the DeLorean Legacy Foundation, and there's the mill that we bought. We're turning it into a memorial teen center and automotive engineering program. So we spoke to the auto shop teacher just today. The auto shop that they offer at my daughter's old high school is one of the best in the state. And so kids from other school districts actually come to our school to learn the auto shop. But her boyfriend, who is an amazing mechanic, just graduated and looking for a job, by the way, he's so smart, and he reminds me a lot of my dad. And I said, why didn't you take automotive engineering? And he said, I had to choose auto shop or engineering. Oh, I went blurry. Sorry.
Yeah, but we can hear you. That's not a choice you want to have to make.
Yeah, exactly. So we said, hey, what if we can actually supplement the auto shop program and bring in some engineering? I had a bunch of people who were really excited and said, I'll come guest lecture. And the town, you know, this is rural America. So there isn't a whole lot for kids to do. And the teen center here where we moved to was so helpful to my daughter. We had the building, we wanted it to be a community center. So we said, let's take this model. And because we're modeling it after my dad, it grew into this wonderful thing. The town is really excited.
Oh, beautiful.
So we're putting together a car show now. That it's going to hopefully happen in October. And we're going to use that to raise some money for it and hopefully get the DeLorean people to all come up and see everyone, because I'm tired of COVID and I miss humans. So I really want to see people again.
Yeah, I don't think you're alone.
Yeah. So I think this will be a really good way to start to reconnect with people and get to know all the people who are up here by us and, hopefully participate in maybe the DeLorean Mid-Atlantic driving tours when I get tires for my car.
Cool. That would be awesome.
Yeah. So, and then the other things that are going on is we're still, I know it feels to everybody like I've put on the brakes totally, because I just was like, whoa, and then I disappeared. But I am calling people every day.
I don't think anybody thinks that. I don't think anybody thinks that. Get that out of your head.
Okay, good.
Yeah, you're very public right now.
Because there's so much going on. I've been actually talking to people on the phone. I'm setting up a Discord where we can all start to collaborate on some of the projects we have going on. And mostly I'm taking some time to enjoy getting to know everybody. Mm. I have found that my favorite part of this project is everybody else's story. So when I put out the questions to try and help people tell me a little bit about themselves and find where they may best fit, I started to get these really amazing life stories about people and all the cool stuff that these DeLorean fans do. I just started to get lost in everybody else's story. Like, oh, my dad was cool, but you're pretty amazing.
Well, you and I talked about this a little bit on the phone recently, and you know, DeLorean is the car is very interesting as far as the auto community goes, because it's not just a car and it's not just the movie. It's like, it's got, because of its own story, DeLorean owners are a little bit different. And with that, they're infinitely more interesting.
Agreed.
Just being different has a different perspective. They're a little quirky. They have this, they do this for a living, whatever it happens to be. They're just a little bit off the beaten path. And that is one of the things I was attracted to when I was a DeLorean car owner. And it's one of the things that I actually miss. And I think if you're able to highlight some of that stuff in a good way that maybe other people have tried and haven't succeeded, I think you really could be onto something, because it's a great community. It's a really great community of wonderful people.
Well, that's, I said to Jason, I said, you know, for my college thesis, I said, I would love to combine my two majors, psychology and photography, and travel around the country and photograph the different subcultures we have and study their psychological differences, right? Sociological differences. And so I said, why don't we travel around the country and meet all these owners of these cars? So one of the things we're toying with is a rolling show where we can go and meet everybody and hear their stories and learn about this really, it's a really unique group of individuals. Yeah. And there is a inordinate amount of good humans in the DeLorean community, as to the ratio of good humans to the rest of the world, which I found really, really fascinating as well. You have bad humans too, of course, but there is an overwhelming number of people in the DeLorean community who really do give back and have jobs that work to give back or projects to give back in a really large way, or quantity, I guess, compared to the general population, because the DeLorean owner community is still only a few thousand people, more than 3,000. Jason says, don't say few, it means three, but it's still in the thousands.
Well, it's an interesting point too, right? Because like other cars, like, you know, call it Porsche, whatever, they're not even the biggest, but millions and millions of cars. There were only 8,000 DeLoreans ever made, right? Almost 9,000, whatever, ever made, and not nearly that many are left. So, you know, there's not, it doesn't mean that more people can't be fans, but only so many owners.
It's a really tiny group.
Yeah. Sorry.
Well, and not everybody's a DeLorean owner. There's a whole litany of aspiring DeLorean owners, because everybody wants the car. Not everybody gets the car, but they still have that DeLorean group aspect, I guess, or energy.
Yeah, there is a thing. It's enthusiasm, it's really, I think. It's just enthusiasm.
Well, and it also takes a really special kind of person to, I mean, every DeLorean you see looks brand new, and that car is 40 years old.
Yeah, but that was part of your dad. That was part of your dad's issue too. You know what I mean? He made it so it was a car that was supposed to last. So underneath is plastic and fiberglass, and the top is stainless steel. So like it was never supposed to wear out. So I'm going to say part of that is design. Part of that's good design.
Yeah,
it's timeless.
And that's
sorry.
It really is though. But I love Nicole. It is really timeless. And I notice when I look at them now, I'm like, the design really is timeless. It's an 80s car, but it still fits today.
Strangely, I actually think it's better looking now, especially with where cars have gone. I think it's better looking now.
I actually think that as well. So anyway, it takes a really unique person to take care of a car like that and to love it the way that you do and to cherish the legacy because it's not me who's kept the legacy all these years. It's the owners. And they've made, they fought the good fight.
Agreed.
I'm just here to give them a bigger, louder voice.
It's weird. You're right about that, because the DeLorean owners have always sort of been the street team for trying to correct the story that's out there. You know what I mean? As far as cocaine and arrest and prison and all this other crazy stuff. It was all the times I was pumping gas on my DeLorean where I was telling people one by one, grassroots, you know, that didn't actually happen. You know, what you're saying isn't real. You know, that's not true.
Well,
and I wasn't alone.
Kind of, yes. And that's kind of what this project is as well, is everybody's like, what can we do to help? And just keep correcting the story. Just try and do it with a little bit of grace. Try not to get upset, because people are going to try and wear you down. And I mean, they come after me all the time, so I'm used to it. It had gone away for a good portion of my life, which was nice. It's back now. Not so great, but I'm used to it. So.
Yeah, it seems like you can't do anything public without having, you know, a side of haters. It's almost like a role that they feel they need to fulfill at this point. So once I sort of realized that, I was like, oh, wait, then it's not about me. It's just about, like, no matter what anybody does, there's a group of people who don't like it. I'm like, oh, well, fine. Who cares? And then it stops bothering me anyway. It was a tough mountain to get over, though. You've had to deal with this your whole life.
Yes.
You know, how are you dealing with it now? What do you do?
Well, now it's I'm not looking for those people. So in order to be impacted by the negative comments, I have to care that they don't like me. I'm not there for that. I'm not on social media to gain a following. I'm not on social media to become famous. I'm there because I want to connect with the DeLorean fans, or I would not. There is nothing else that could have gotten me back on Facebook. Nothing at all. So I'm not there for the people who hate. And when they leave their comments, I just delete them. And that's my catharsis.
Yeah.
And they can't, it's not like people can say, I'm not letting other people have their say or whatever. I don't want your say. You're not contributing anything to my journey.
To my effort here. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little bit harder to maintain that mentality when you are trying to build yourself, because it'd be different if this project was about me and they were attacking me. They're not attacking me. They're attacking my dad, which sucks more for a person like me, but it's also easier to weather over time, because when they're attacking you, it will wear you down. When they're attacking something attached to you, you're able to kind of separate.
You can separate.
Yeah. So
still, it's been enough time.
It's
been enough time.
Empowering.
Let it go, people. Let the anger go. There's no room for it in this new earth.
The problem with that is that same thing I said many, many years ago before everybody knew it. Social media has primed us to be angry first, because we were slaves to the algorithm, which was doing that.
Right.
So in everything we do, everybody's going to look for the negative first. And that's a tragedy. That's part of why when I'm engaging on social media and using this legacy project, I said just today, get used to the sweet, because it's going to just keep on coming. Like, I'm going to promote being kind to each other, doing random acts of kindness. I'm going to keep doing that because that's important these days. And we need to remember, one of my favorite things about the new place I work is one of their five core values is to assume positive intent in your interactions with others. So,
I love this. I love this. It changes everything.
Yeah,
go on.
It does. It really does. So when somebody's late to a meeting, don't assume that they were messing around or doing something. Assume that they meant to be there on time and something happened and they couldn't be there.
Or build maybe their grandmother died. Like something else where you're not mad at them for.
Exactly. And if, you know, somebody says something to you, look for the positive intent in the message first and then ask to clarify second.
Yeah, it may not be there. It may never be there even, but somehow this changes the human algorithm with how you're interacting.
Yes, very much. And the other thing that I've started to do is focus on the variables that change the outcome of the equation.
Oh.
So there's a lot of times where there's a lot of times where you have something happen and you want to know why something is the way that it is. But the why doesn't change the outcome of the equation. It doesn't really matter why something is, if in the end, what's going to happen still happens and the situation you have to deal with still exists. When we start to focus on these extraneous details, that's when we get lost in our head. That's when we take things personally. That's when everything overwhelms us.
The ego takes over, right?
Yes, yes.
And we can't, you can't even stop. Like there's no, it just does.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And you just need to kind of take a step back and examine what's going on. I wish I had a really good example of this, because when I've been talking about it, I've had good examples. But of course, now that I'm on your show, I don't have any.
Well, this is your show too. This is everybody's show. And as a matter of fact, I have to go to the bathroom. So let's try something we've never done before. And let's see if Kat and producer Mike can chat as well. I think I can do that. Here, let me do it the other way.
Oh my God, look at this.
Hi!
Let's see this.
Kat, this is an honor. And I mean, I've of course seen you on the show before and all that, but for right now, I'm tripping out, and I'll tell you why. First off, everything that you said about kindness, I am well on that bandwagon with you. Kindness is by far my favorite thing in the entire world, and assuming positive intent, what a phenomenal way to filter what's coming in here and in here. And that is lovely, lovely, lovely. But that's not what's tripping me out. What's tripping me out is this. I have a tattoo on my back. Okay, I got it in like 2015. And it's 21 of my very favorite things, all coming out of a Ghostbusters trap. Okay, and it's all just this. Two of those things are represented right now. One of them is a representation of the microphone on Jay's desk. The other one is the time machine blowing off. So literally listening to you talk, it just occurred to me right now that on my back, I actually have, legacies from both of you two on my body. So yes, I don't have a DeLorean. I'm not one of those lucky people like you just talked about. But I got one that I carry with me everywhere I go. It's just kind of trippy to me.
Sorry to jump in here. Don't you have a Back to the Future or a DeLorean? Don't you have something on there? I think
that's
don't
what
you
I'm
have
saying. I got the microphone and a DeLorean on my back.
Oh, you do? Okay. Good. Yeah.
And listening to you two talk is just like, holy cow! I have skin deep internalized both of you. In what you're saying.
That might be creepy, but I'll take it.
Oh, yeah. It's done through. Remember, we're assuming kind intent, right?
That's right.
Very kind intent.
I like it. I actually love that tattoo idea. I wanted to do something, I want to say similar, but not similar. I wanted to put my favorite things in a tattoo on my back. And have it kind of centered around a DeLorean and my dad, because he was my favorite thing.
Oh, that's beautiful. She froze on that, by the way. That was a beautiful way. That's it. Frozen.
That was the best mic drop ever.
That's amazing. That is amazing. And the internet went out in New Hampshire. Oh, there she is. She's back.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Kat, I am so excited for all of the things to come with the DeLorean Legacy. I am very excited about the DeLorean Legacy podcast. I know that I have not been around as much as we would both like, but I also know that you've been making things work on that side. Know that when we come up with what it is and the schedule and whatever, like, we can do it whenever. You know what I mean? I will make time for you with that. It's just life lately. And you're not alone.
Yes.
I've been blowing
no,
off
I
producer
it.
Mike too. Sorry about that.
We've had this conversation. You are not blowing me off unless I say I need you and you don't show up. And when I need you, I have been very blunt, too blunt. And I'm working on that. But, you know.
I don't think you're too blunt. I think that's what someone like me needs. Otherwise, I'm just like, yeah, yeah, I'll get to it. I think I need someone to be blunt with me when it's important to them. Otherwise, I don't know. I'm one of those people who... not good at that part. I'm an only child who grew up with no parents. You know what I mean? Like, they were always in their own places doing their own things. And I don't know. I'm sort of undeveloped in that regard. So I think that you know me well enough to know exactly what I do need.
Mm-hmm. But I don't like being a jerk about it. But you're not wrong. I actually have started to kind of channel, like, you know, the whole energy thing, and the messages that I send you, they don't come from me, and they're pretty harsh. It's like, you know,
people have no idea what you're talking about. I wake up to a daily, like, you know how I put out those daily nice sort of inspirational quotes and whatever. She sends me some sort of a channel she gets every day that I wake up to. It's usually paragraphs and paragraphs, and it's always very enlightening. I will say that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always on the money. It's never, I'm never like, oh, she's crazy. Like, never, ever, ever, ever.
It's kind of about helping you get over the things that I know I do too. And,
well, that's it, right? Because it's easy to see in other people. Like, I could produce someone else's show, but I don't know how to do this one. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, we're doing it. We're winging it. But you know what I'm saying, right? It's easy to see other people's
shit. I
know
exactly what you're saying.
So yeah. I appreciate it. I'll take it, especially from somebody I love and care about. So, in fact, that you're the person I want it from. The people who try to give it to me, I have no interest in taking their opinion. No interest.
Before we go, I have a joke for you.
Go for it. Yeah.
Why did the chicken cross the road?
Why did the chicken cross the road? I do not know why the chicken crossed the road.
I don't know either. That's why I asked you.
Oh, I love it. All right, I love you. I'm sure I'll get a message from you in the morning before we head up to Breakfast Club. And I'm okay with that. Is there anything else? Are we good?
No, we're good. Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here, and I miss and love you guys so much.
Same here. Love you so much. Love to Jason and the fam. Talk to you soon. She's the best. Kat DeLorean, everybody. Producer Mike. That was good stuff. I'm really glad you chimed in.
She's
there
a breath
the way
of fresh
you did.
Air.
Agreed. I really agree. But I think that you guys, I mean, she doesn't really have a, well, she's got a Carson connection, though. I don't know if that's enough to be on the Letterman podcast. But you guys seem to be in a similar energy there. I was listening while I went out of the room, and I would watch that show of you guys just talking.
I'm definitely picking up what she's putting down. I love it.
Let's see. I know there was some stuff in the chat before, but it didn't look like anything super important. I know when we're over here like this, people come and go because it's not like direct interaction. It's just a camera shooting a television. I know.
Yeah.
Is what it is. Let's see. But I did have some stuff to talk about today, and we got to do some commercials. Let's do some commercials real quick. They say all which separates men and boys is the coverage for their toys. What types of toys are we talking about today, Mrs. Ryan?
Collections, cars, and I thought of books.
Oh, books is good. Sure.
Switch it up.
Yeah. Anything that's valuable, anything that's insurable, you're going to want to get that coverage. Licensed in most states, St. Clair Insurance shops top providers, so you get the best coverage for your toys. Simply go to www.stclairinsurance. Nope, that's not true. Although that will get you there as well. www.coverageforyourtoys.com. Coverageforyourtoys.com.
Coverageforyourtoys.com.
And tell Jeff St. Clair that Nicole says hello because...
I cannot.
Jeff St. Clair was up on the hill the other day, the Pikes Peak Hill Climb. He was there live with all of our friends. He was supporting, you know, Zwart and Lisa Taylor and... everybody. He knows everybody, too. And Johnny Lieberman.
I saw that.
So many of our friends who are up at Pikes Peak. They will start, now that they're back, they will start coming in here, one by one, hopefully. Can't wait to hear about it. Johnny was not pleased with his result because of the weather and everything else, but that is the nature of it. He drove strong. Zwart got fucked by the same weather.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you're in the same handicap as Zwart for the same... You're in good company.
Good to go. Yeah, that's the word.
Anyway, so I wouldn't worry about it. I had a whole story to tell you about DirecTV and why we have parted ways with DirecTV and why I am not okay with DirecTV and why I want to tell you all about it, but maybe I'll do it on Thursday. No, today's Thursday. Maybe we'll do it next week. Crap. Run out of time to tell you about DirecTV. What a bunch of dicks they are. let's see. No, I want to be positive too, but in thinking about whether or not to mention this, I thought, well, no, this is a, it would be a, I'm going to do a service by mentioning this. I'm not going to rant about how I got screwed, but I want other people to know so that they don't get screwed. That's what it is. But we'll do that another day. Cats, Alorian, Delorean Legacy Podcast, we did that. Now, producer Mike and the Letterman Podcast update. Do that right after the Series 1 Films. This episode has been brought to you in part by Series 1 Films. Series 1 Films helps automotive brands. Going way too fast, I'm sorry. Try to get these ads out of the way, but the ad sponsors probably don't care for that. So let me just slow it down a little bit while I remind you about St. Clair Insurance for your insurance needs and also for your photographic and film commercial needs, Series 1 Films. Series 1 Films helps automotive brands create engaging cinematic content for social media and advertising to grab and hold your ideal customer's attention. Simply check them out at series1films.com. series1films.com.
series1films.com.
And the one is a number one. And just to remind you what they're up to, I think I got a video over here. Here, see what it looks like. This was from Breakfast Club a week or two ago, a couple weeks ago. Roll it out. Drummer, I'm actually tapping along when those things happen. I hate when that one ends. I like that music. Except when I posted it on the social media today and didn't tag the song because it's already in the video, the social media tags it for you. And that one is called, this is Taylor's video. I didn't do any of this, but that one's called Deep Throat. She wants it, I think. she's got to have it. Something like that.
I remember reading
Hilarious. Yeah. Hilarious. Anyway, didn't know that, and now I do. So, I like the track. I like the track a lot. New Life of Old Nicole. What's new with you? Anything? How's life?
It's bad. I had something to say, and I forget.
Oh, all right. Well, I know you're dealing with it. I know we're going to see some neurologist next week, right? Next week?
2 weeks.
Oh, 2 weeks. But, you know, so stuff's happening, and foundation news hopefully soon.
I had ideas about that, but
yeah, I know, but we won't. Yeah, exactly.
Talk to you later, but I am thinking about it, and I have some really cool ideas.
Yeah, good. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I don't. Yeah, we're not going to say them today. Yeah, good stuff. But you're feeling okay today? Not even close.
Not in the least.
And you look better, which means you're not. God damn. It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't.
I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
When you get comfortable learning how to maneuver when you're in pain, things change. Because it takes that lens off of, like, what do you have to avoid? Like, whatever.
What do you mean?
Like, I don't worry about falling anymore. Like, oh. I'm probably going to, like,
oh, you mean like the stuff that we, oh, I don't want to get embarrassed by whatever, like inhibitions, is that what you mean, inhibitions?
It goes along the lines of manifestation of, like, don't make shit happen that you don't want to have happen.
Oh, that's not what I thought you meant at all.
Don't worry about falling if you're worried. Don't think about falling if you're worried about falling.
That I agree with.
So you have to, when you think you're normal and living properly, like I did, one by one, your life gets torn apart. You have to dismantle everything and be like, think about things positively or don't think about them when they're shitty. Like, I could think about my situation all day. Times two. Like, not worth it. Sorry, I think I tangented.
No. No, I think it's good for people to hear.
I just don't like talking about my negativity all the time, and I'm just in pain all the time. But, like, that seems like
that's
a weird...
choice. You can do that or not, but to do it and then say I don't like doing it all the time is then you're... You know what I mean? Like, it's... You get to make the... We all get to make the choice. And I think what you're saying is you're trying to make the choice more often than not these days, which is hopefully helping.
I'm trying to expand my world so it's not just what's going on. Because that's not good.
Yeah. You want a riffling point?
Yes. Please.
Let's bring Monk in here. There we go. We're still on, right? You're still live.
Oh, we're still on.
And you never had any audio issues today, so we're good there. Let's see.
Woo!
Oh, that's hilarious. I've got an email from Eddie Brill in the middle of all that, which is fantastic. That makes me feel good because he's your buddy. I got an email from your buddy, Eddie Brill.
Finally. It's usually your buddies that are emailing me, so it's nice to go the other way on that one.
Did you talk to Gabe Abelson? Is that did you guys?
We've gone back and forth. He's looking for a day right now to figure it out. Yeah, absolutely.
I think you guys are going to have a really great time. He's such a warm, good dude. Like,
I love him.
You guys are just going to have a love fest. It's going to be great. And he's got so many great, positive, fun stories too. He's worried about, you know, he's got an NDA, you know, from back in the day. And I said, buddy, just go watch some of these other episodes. I told him that Tom Dreesen asked Dave before he did your show. You know what I mean? And I think that put him at ease a little bit. And he was like, oh, okay, great. Yeah, great.
Did I tell you Jeff did too?
Say it again.
Jeff Altman asked Dave as well.
Well, so, like, I mean, do you remember the original? I didn't really intend on doing this, but do you remember the original conversation where you asked me, hey, I want to pick your brain or the blah, 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 blah. And I was like, I don't want to do that because I don't want to end up booking your show. And you're like, no, I don't want you to book my show. Like, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that at all. And you weren't saying that at all. But I was saying, having been through this before, I was saying, no, if we share those ideas and you're now doing another show, now I'm giving you, like, you were supposed to be producing my show. Now I'm, and it was a whole thing. And so I didn't mean for any of that to get weird. I hope it's not weird. I know the other day on the show it was weird for 2 seconds, but I hope we're okay, because I made a joke.
Not even a little bit. I'm okay. No, good. No, I'm all good.
Because I made a joke the other day, and it seemed like you might have taken it seriously, but I don't want you to.
Not even. No. Okay, if there's anything, it's me pausing to make sure that it is a joke, and that if there is a place for me to go, oh, okay. But no, all good. Very good, in fact.
If only more people.
And I can't wait till Tom's on this. I can't wait till Tom is on the playset. Like, I am counting the days till Tom gets on the playset. That is going to be so awesome to have him.
Me
there.
Too. So then I can go watch the Letterman podcast, because I'm not watching those until he gets here. Even though I'm thinking I probably should watch them so that I don't double up on the material. But, you know, I guess it just is what it is. Everything, whatever happens, happens.
There are stories that Tom loves to tell. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if he just moved into those stories anyway. You know, he famously, Dave even comments on it on one of his appearances. You know, he even says, well, if Tom has a story that he loves to tell, he's going to tell it over and over again. But that is one of the things that's endearing about him. Like, on our podcast, he told the legendary Rickles from Frank Sinatra in the restaurant story.
I love that.
I've heard
one.
Him tell that story a dozen times. And it was even better hearing him tell it to me live. So,
is this the one where he said, Frank, not now, I'm with people?
Yeah.
Okay. I've heard Rickles tell that story, and it's amazing. I bet Tom Dreesen would absolutely drop the whatever.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
It's so good. It's so good.
We're nerds for this old Hollywood stuff anyway, so I feel like, you know, we are their target We're the audience for these damn shows.
Well, he's a torchbearer too. You know, he's a torchbearer for Frank Sinatra. And so, you know, I've used the line to death where a fisherman understands another fisherman, can always just recognize another fisherman. But isn't that what we're kind of doing too? We're torchbearers for the things that we love. Well, he is as well.
Well, you know, I thought I was until you came along, and now what you're doing, I think that I wasn't. I think I thought I was, and now I see. You know, I told you this once before. I was always afraid to trade, given my past especially, I was always afraid to trade on the Letterman name because it's not mine. Yeah. It's not, you know what I mean? It's not, I don't even have a real affiliation other than places I have inserted myself into the fucking history of the show. And not to anyone else's delight. You know what I mean? Like, no one was happy about my little antics as a kid. So I was always sort of self-conscious about that. And then plus, in my own mind, I feel like I've got a pretty good handle on the type of personality Dave is, because I think we share a little bit of our own whatever. Mm-hmm. I
agree with that.
I wasn't comfortable with it for me. And I thought I was doing what you said. Oh, but it'd be great to do a whole. I was like, isn't that what we're doing? Like, if you want to be like the guy to do that, you should do it, because like that was your idea. You've got the personality, and I stand by that. But what I'm seeing as you go, sorry, I'm so long winded about this. It's all supposed to be praise for you, by the way.
I'm trying to say good things. It's all
about
jazz.
You. But I thought we were doing it until I saw you actually do it, and now what you're doing, I think, is great, and it was needed, and I now see that I was not all in that regard like I could have been. I still maintain, though, that this is working out how it's supposed to, because I wasn't the guy who was supposed to do that. I think that you are the guy who was supposed to do that, and I think that whatever this is kind of just organically working itself out. I hope, anyway.
I look at it as dimensions on a diamond. If you're looking at a diamond and you turn that diamond a little bit, the dimensions that you see all shine forward. And I believe all of our dimensions are shining the way they're supposed to shine. And they 100% complement each other just like they do on a diamond.
Oh, I hope so. I hope you're right about that. I mean, that's the best case scenario if you're right about that.
That's how it feels to me. And we're all linked arms. Well, diamond dimensions are all linked together, right? That's how I see it.
That's great. All right. Well, should we riffle and point then, since we're all here?
I watched the gum on her pants clip again the other day. I wonder if she still has gum on her pants.
Tell me what you mean by that. Is this a Barbara Gaines?
It was, yeah. There was an episode.
I think of speed.
On...
I got gum on my seat. Gum. I already seen the airport.
On the late night, that I want to call it 87-88, where they came back from the Emmy party, and he brought out Barbara, Morty, I think Jude, and someone else, and they all were telling stories, and they were showing pictures of when they were at the Emmy parties and on the trip, and. Barbara Gaines sat in gum, and someone took a picture of the gum on her pants. And even when he was interviewing Morty about the trip and everybody, Dave kept bringing out the photograph of gum on Barbara's pants.
I am vaguely remembering this now.
Yeah.
So but it happened in Los Angeles, and there was photos of it from the Los Angeles trip.
Yeah, they had come back. That's right. They had come back from the Los Angeles trip, and they were talking about it. And yeah, well, somebody brought up first class with him, and they took pictures of that. And anyway, yeah. So anyway, she had gum on her seat on her rear end.
That's right. Cameron had gum on his seat.
Or Sandra Cameron Bullock. Had gum on his seat. That's right. That's right.
All right. Let's see. I guess for me, I don't know if it was Rifflin Point or what, but during one of the segments where she was out there with Dave at the desk, they called her mom. And her mom reminded me of mine, and I just felt like I loved Barbara Gaines from that day forward. And I remember what the mom said. I won't repeat it here because it just wasn't nice. It was just a mom thing, but like, and it just hit home. I don't want to start crying, but it just hit home. So with that, let's riffle and point.
Hi, you've reached Barbara Gaines at the alleged Barbara Gaines show. Please leave a message.
Hi, Barbara, Jay, Nicole, and Mike over here in the late night playset. And we have a quick question for you. You know, your handle is Barbara Gaines is retired. And we're wondering, Hal Gurney was retired before late night. What do we have to do to convince you to come produce our show? Because, you know, we're noodling here. We've gotten it as far as we can go. We need a producer. I can't do all of the jobs. And we need somebody who knows what they're doing. So would you produce our show? Thanks, Barbara. Jay, Nicole, Mike, Late Night Playset. Talk to you soon. Love you.
We love you.
Got it. Oh, I forgot the phone. Oh, damn it. Oh, shit. Oh, well. We riffled and we pointed.
All right. And
that's been How's the Weather Out There?
I should be keeping a log for this. It's like the Oprah log, except different.
We should do that. Did we got rid of it? Is it still here?
It'd be called the Weather Almanac or something.
It's a couple years old. We've been at this for a while. Just saying. Also, let's see over here. Letterman Podcast Network. Oh, we can't talk about that. More to come on that. Tiny on the Radio says, we love you, Nicole. Mm-hmm. And Letterman Podcast says, woo!
Woo!
I love it. I will tell you this. There is good news regarding the Letterman Podcast Network, but I am waiting to see if there's great news. And we might not have an answer on that for a long time. But we have good news that I don't want to release yet because I pitched something else that could make that good news great news. And if that were to ever happen, then why would we even talk about the good news? Because it's just – it would totally be overshadowed by the great news.
Right.
Now, the great news may not happen. We don't know. But you know, way to gamble. Can't win if you don't play. All right. Let's see. We're going to talk about DirecTV another day. Cat DeLorean did it. Commercials. How's the weather? Will you produce our show? Nailed it. Thank yous, follows, and plugs. All right. So we've done what we need to do. What's coming up on this week's podcast? The Letterman podcast, Mike?
At midnight tonight, PST, Daniel Kellison's episode drops. That's going to be a lot of fun. He tells a Hal Gurney story on there that is just phenomenal. Next on Tuesday is the postmortem. Rob Cates talking about and I talking about the Jerry Seinfeld David Letterman interview from my next guest. Friday next week is Arthur Kelly. He is
Where you got your Letterman jacket.
Yep,
or
one of them. And the first one, and the Welcome to the Family, and we talked about that. Arthur's such an interesting guy, and he's just the right kind of crazy, and he would definitely know that I'm being very endearing when I say those words. And then
I remember he was crazy on the show. Like, as I recall, he not only worked there, but he was such a personality that they put him on the show. Isn't that right?
He was Mike Singletary in Coach's Corner, and he would come out and shout all of these crazy things, and because he had a vague resemblance to NFL football coach Mike Singletary, and he was on for years and years and years. He tells some very endearing stories. I don't think he would mind saying I had an hour and a half conversation yesterday with Shecky, and I'm not gonna give all of the details of what he said, but he goes, hey, I'm hearing about you from some of these people that he's still obviously very connected with. But one of the people was, he said, hey, just so you know, Hal Gurney is thinking about doing your show.
Dude.
I've reached out to Hal. You don't have to say that to me. I know. And so then I told him the story that Daniel told me on the podcast that's about to drop tonight. And Jackie just starts laughing because it's a hilarious story. It's awesome. And I tell him that story and he's like, yeah, you guys are going to have fun, and gives me a couple of hints about Hal and that's going to be a lot of fun. I cannot wait. You talk about legends whose stories have stories. Hal Gurney is that guy. I mean, that's going to be incredible. So that was a nice little piece of news. You know, when Shecky hears about me from other sources, I'm I'm pretty excited about that.
See, that's what I was going to say. Do you see what I was saying before? How I'm not the only one who feels that way.
Yeah. Very much so. And I'm hearing it from all sorts of places and small and big, and every single one of them gives me more and more confidence at this thing. And it's just a dream come true. It's already a dream come true, but the dream is continuing and the dream is getting bigger. And I'm just really enjoying the ride and trying to be present for every moment of it.
Well, I think you're doing a good job, Ed. I really do. I think you're guided by the right stuff. I think that's the difference. I think you're not doing this for the wrong reasons. I think that makes all the difference in the world. I think people can see
it's all heart.
But I think they can see that. I think.
Yeah.
I think it comes across in your videos. Your videos. I'm sorry, but you know, in these conversations.
Yeah.
But it's not even just the conversation, because it's the part. It's you talking for 5 minutes before the conversation starts. That's where you get what the show is, and you somehow are able to maintain that for the rest of the conversation. We have a hard time with that. That thing goes all over the place. Who the hell knows? It's unwrangleable. And somehow you're able to kind of keep it confined into a pretty tight thing, which is just great. So I salute you.
I appreciate it. It is all from the heart. I have no notes. I do a little teeny tiny bit of like a meditation type prep. Like with Daniel, I knew I wanted to ask potentially about Drew and Madonna and Peter O'Toole. But at the end of the day, that was not hard, fast. If we would have gone another direction, I would have been happy to go there. But yeah, no notes, just all heart. And that's
so awesome. I'm really glad he did yours. He hasn't even responded to me. So good for you. And she used to really know him and everything in real life.
Yeah.
So whatever. I mean, he follows us and everything. I'm assuming it'll get, you know, gotten to at some point, I hope. But who knows? I'm very happy he did yours.
Well, this is where iron can sharpen iron. Like, let's all, like, again, just like with Gabe. That's how the things happened.
I wanted to get out of him, I think you probably already did. So, I mean, it's not like, you know, whatever. So that one's fine. you're right. There are other people I'm sure will be different. All right. Gosh, I'm sorry. Every time I get an email, I'm like, more shit. That's why I'm terrible. All right. Are we good? Can we wrap this thing up? This no show got very long and we barely talked to the Instagram audience. Did they have anything? I saw somebody bought a badge. Thank you for that.
Hanker Camera 4 definitely bought a badge.
Let's buy badges. Let's ask questions. Let's play in the set. Oh, how can I make her louder? Oh, I tried to do that. I thought I did. The problem is that we're just not set up for that in here. We're working on it. Boy, there's a lot of people. There's some names in here I haven't seen in forever. Nate Films from fucking Ignition. He's an old PA of mine. Or maybe a coordinator. Anyway. sorry. Watch Jay Reed tweets.
Love you guys.
Yeah, I love you. Love you. And the Letterman podcast. I really do. But anyway, so to finish up that thought before, I was not comfortable with it. And the way you have taken it and are doing what I think is a great thing with it, you got the kudos and the salute before, but I wanted to wrap up why I was saying it all. And good job.
Much appreciation. We're all family. That's the way I look at it.
Also, the Rusty Kids. I almost said the Rusty Kids podcast. That's not right. The Rusty,
Rusty and Mike.
Rusty Kids Brazil is the model maker who makes all of those. Stop it. Rusty Kids Brazil is the kid who makes all the freaking models of our cars up at Breakfast Club and Newcomb's Ranch and everything. So I've got that on my mind. But Rusty Shackelford, yes, you are correct, is who we're talking about. The Wake the Kids Phone the Neighbors. They're still going strong too, right? I haven't talked to him in a couple of days, but as far as I know, they're still putting out episodes too, right?
They are, and they're wanting to go to weekly as soon as possible as well. And I mean, just it's all love. I traded a couple of messages with him today too, and it's just lots of love for all of us, and lots more to come.
Yeah, I know. That was my thing. I love that. Have you ever seen any of the old episodes of our show where we would take a break, but we wouldn't go anywhere, and so we would have the more to come thing like Johnny?
Yeah, love that. That's
cool. I don't know why. Love I don't know that. Why. I salute the old stuff. I love all the old stuff.
Well, he's Don Vito. Dave's Michael. That's the way I look at it.
Oh.
It's a Godfather reference. Sorry,
I knew it. I don't get it. Godfather and Star Wars. All right, tomorrow we are at GVBC. Next week we are back here. Great week next week, I guess. And I know we've been doing a lot of comedy. More Cars next week. We got Misha Mansour is in here, although I guess he's music, but he's a huge car guy, and he's going to be a professional reviewer soon, the way he's cranking out content and everything. Yeah. Also, Chris Rosales. Chris has a camera, will be here as well. They're going to do the show together, so it's going to be crazy car talk on that one. And then part two of the Sean Bishop show. He will be returning. We didn't want it to let it go too far.
Awesome.
So he's going to come back. We've tried to get him in here tonight, believe it or not. And I was like, ah. But he's going to be in here Tuesday, and we are going to pick up wherever we left off. And if the folks have questions, please jump in, because it turns out that he got tremendous feedback from all of the old prop people. But the world I left, that he's still in, I guess he got really good feedback for it. So
good.
We don't want to lose the momentum. So Sean will be back next week,
I'm
too.
I'm so glad.
And that's what's going on. And it'll be July, for God's sake. Happy 4th of July, everybody. It'll be the 5th when we're back, right? So happy 4th of July.
Happy Canada Day tomorrow.
Enjoy your overpriced hot dogs and hamburgers. Inflate-gate. Inflate-gate. And shrink-gate. Be careful of your smaller hot dogs and hamburgers and your inflated, shrinked, whatever. Oh, well. Anyway, I love you. We love you out there, and you up there in Canada, Producer Mike and Kat DeLorean, all the
happy
way out
Canada
on the East Coast.
Day.
Is today Canada Day?
Tomorrow.
Oh, happy Canada Day, buddy.
July 1st.
Buddy and brother. Buddy. Could have done it the other way. It would have been bother. Oh, well. Anyway, we love everybody. See you later.